Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Chris Canty, we are making it through another week, and when we return on Monday, we'll flip the calendar to June. But good morning to you, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. I'm trying to make it through the week. It's a lot going on right now. My mind is far away from doing a sports radio show, but I'm going to try to push through with you guys. I know it's a part of the job.
Yeah, certainly a lot going on in the world right now that makes it difficult to focus on the matter at hand for us, but we're professionals and this is what we do. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm doing fantastic. It's Friday. We got through another week. Looking forward to the weekend. Maybe some nice weather, hopefully.
Got a big NHL guest for us today. We landed.
Big. Not just a big guest. Big. Don't pigeonhole him as an NHL guest. I mean, I don't care what he's doing. He's a good guy. He's a good guest.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't a good guy, but if I asked Chris, where does our guest hail from? What sport? I don't think he'd say, well, he's just a guy. You would say he's an NHL guest, right, Chris?
Yeah, I would classify Kenny as an NHL guest.
I think it's disrespectful.
More like the NHL guest, though.
Yeah, I just think if you just ask Canty, like, I mean, we have one of your favorite guests, maybe your favorite guest on the show today.
All you had to do was say, Chris, we've got your favorite coach in the tri-state area on the show. That's all you had to say.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And in a big time slot, too. Right at noon.
Hopefully we'll have some music, maybe a nice intro. What do you think,
Yes.
Dave?
That would be lovely. I would
maybe
would
something like maybe a sound in between questions, just so people know we're asking a new question.
Maybe sprinkle. Maybe so. Sprinkle that. You know what's nice is even old Don could listen to this interview. Don that slept till noon would wake up and just hear David Quinn on with us right at noon.
Yeah, this is for the masses. This is right around. This could be brunch. Well, who knows? Maybe you're having an adult beverage and you're just saying, you know what? I'd like to hear some hockey. And boom,
well, it is Friday. Quinn. That's right. You know, I didn't realize that Capo Caco has diabetes. Did you know that?
I did not know that. No, I didn't really go in depth into his full health report.
No, but I was reading a report yesterday that he has it, and I guess it's certainly interesting if he's concerned to return with everything going on, or he's one of the guys that says, you know, it's not worth the risk, and I'm not going to come back. I'm sure that's something the Rangers have and will address.
I'm sure that's a concern for all these teams. I mean, that's why, I mean, health needs to be the number one priority, and it depends guy to guy. I mean, you have, you know, the bald Mamba with the Lakers saying, you know, he's not overly concerned about COVID because he's in, you know, such great shape. And then there are some guys that are dealing with underlying health risks. I mean, I think football is the biggest. For me, college football players would be my biggest concern at the moment because you got young kids and you got big guys that, I mean, could be susceptible. I mean, you're talking about humongous offensive and defensive linemen that you're trying to protect.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it, Rick. And then just the sheer number of players that are going to be involved. Like with the NFL, you're talking about 2,000 guys. With college football, you've got over 100 programs at the Division I level, and then you're talking about 100 kids on every team. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, certainly there are going to be some athletes that are dealing with underlying health issues that they're not even aware of. And to rush to put these kids at risk, I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me if you're the NCAA. But to your point about Caco, Dave, I mean, I didn't know that he deals with diabetes, but Patrick Peterson came out yesterday and talked about his concern about returning to play because he deals with diabetes. So, I mean, this is a real concern. I know a lot of people focus on the money aspect of things because of what's in the news with Major League Baseball. But, I mean, we are talking about taking on a lot more risk if you're a professional athlete in your return to play dealing with the coronavirus.
Absolutely.
But I think that's why we always end up coming back to the finances that are involved. You know, you're going to have to make it worth the athlete's, you know, time and more importantly, their willingness to take the risk by offering them more money than you might like. Right? I mean, isn't that what it comes down to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much risk are you gonna, like, how much is it gonna cost you to make me take this kind of risk?
Sure. But if you're Caco and you speak with your doctors and they say, you know, there may be no amount of money, and I'm not saying this is the case, but if they say, you know, it's just not worth it for you and he sits out, then he sits out and good for him. And I don't think anybody judges him for that.
No, I think you're right. But, I mean, if it's up to him, I mean, and, you know, whatever percentages they give him, I mean, at his age, I mean, where he's at in his career, the ability to compete for a Stanley Cup, I'm sure he would make the decision that
I'm sure he wants to play. Absolutely. I'm sure he wants to play, and I would expect that he probably will. But, you know, there are underlying medical issues with some of these guys that a lot of people, you know, and I always say this all the time, and you guys probably feel this and have felt this, is sports fans don't look at athletes as people. You're a robot. You're someone that's out there for our enjoyment. And a lot of people do not look at the underlying issues of there's real human elements to a lot of these guys. And maybe with this disease, and maybe not, I don't know, maybe some of that changes a little bit moving forward.
Well, yeah, I'm sure some of it changes a little bit, Dave, just because you recognize that everybody could be at risk. Like, you know, you just don't know how this virus is going to affect different people. And when you think about high-level athletes, some of the best conditioned people in the world, you're saying, well, they shouldn't be affected by this. But you've seen that you've had high school athletes and college athletes be affected adversely by the coronavirus. So I just think that this is one of those things where you understand that the choice comes down to the individual. And it's about them being able to assess what's important to them and determine whether the risk, whether the reward is worth the risk. And for a lot of professional athletes, there's a dollar figure attached to that. And to Rick's point, it's one of those situations where you have to determine whether or not the payoff is going to be there. Because let's not forget about this. It's not just about how the virus will affect you in the short term, but it's also the long term. You know, God forbid one of these players has a return to sport and gets infected with the coronavirus, and it changes their career trajectory. Like, that's the one thing that we don't know, and that's the one thing that these sports leagues can't guarantee, is that there wouldn't be any long-term damage done if you got the coronavirus. Now, I mean, according to the science, the risk is low, but it's still a risk, and that's something that has to be factored in.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. All right, Coach Quinn is going to join us right at the top of the noon hour. So today's Friday. And we love our Fridays, and we consider these somewhat football Fridays, and we have some football stuff to get into today, so let's go there. I'm surprised. I thought this, Chris, this 4th and 15 play from your own 20 or 25-yard line as an alternative to the onside kick was going to pass, and it did not. NFL teams need to kind of digest this for at least another year, and that will not be passed into a new rule for 2020.
I was hoping that the NFL was going to be aggressive, Dave, but to me, I think – this is a little bit of the backlash that the NFL got for implementing the pass interference challenge rule and how poorly that worked out. And Troy Vincent, you know, fell on the sword earlier this week and said that the failure is his in terms of that instrument not being as effective as they hoped it would be. And so I think the NFL is reluctant to make any drastic changes to the game for the 2020 season, especially with what we're going through with the pandemic, because there's already going to be a lot of change. We don't know whether or not we're going to be able to have fans this football season in stands. You know, it's taking all of the NFL's resources just to be able to find a way forward in terms of teams being able to get back in the building and get back to work. So I can understand why they would be resistant to trying to experiment with this now. But I would hope they would do something, because the rules that they put in place for the kickoff and for player safety have virtually eliminated the onside kick. The last two seasons, teams that have attempted onside kicks, I want to say they're 0 for 104. So, I mean, it's nearly impossible if the players can't get a rolling start to be able to recover an onside kick.
Yeah, I just don't see the – I mean, I don't see – maybe this is just me as the fan, and I'm not really thinking about it the way that, you know, the people that are voting are. I don't see what the negative part of the 4th and 15 would be.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, I didn't at first just because I'm hesitant to the change aspect of it, but, you know, I don't know. This is not brokering a peace treaty. You know, the response is like, well, we need to really – but that's the way they act. Like, the NFL is so serious for these guys. It's like, well, we've got to really sit and study and see if this is something we're interested in doing. Well, you know what? You had this ridiculous pass interference rule. It didn't work out, and you wiped it clean.
But doesn't
no
it feel
it can
like
– it can be worse than that.
Yeah, but, Dave, doesn't it feel like the NFL is always reactive as opposed to proactive?
With everything
they
do.
So it's like, I mean, so that they wheel this rule out, and then they wheel out the sky judge, and then they kind of, you know, wait to see how everyone feels about it. And, you know, now we'll say, you know, we'll table this and now we'll see how people react to it. Do they really want it? Or was it exciting at first? Like, I just don't, I mean, isn't the whole point to keep, you know, your fans as engaged as long as humanly possible?
Mm-hmm.
And if all of a sudden now you got a 4th and 15, that's an untimed down. I mean, just think about that. Like, think of the possibilities. I mean, what your team could do. I mean, this is an untimed down. So you could be down, I mean, you could be down a couple scores with, you know, a minute left in the game and still have the opportunity to come back.
Sure. You go, you score, you do it again, you go, you score. Your defense could never see the field. I don't know. I thought there was something interesting and exciting about it.
Well, of course it's exciting, Dave. You're taking the ball out of the kicker's hands and putting it into the quarterback's hands. And for most teams, you're talking about their highest paid player. So that makes all the sense in the world because that's the guy that people want to come see. Why would you not feature the quarterback more and take less of the specialists out of it? To me, the proposal made all the sense in the world, and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs are the ones that brought this to the table, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I would love to see the drama that could build at the end of NFL games as a result of this. I just don't understand why the NFL owners didn't decide that they would at least try to implement this in the preseason. Like, they tabled the proposal for the Sky Judge, but from the reports that I heard yesterday, Diana Rossini and others, they're still going to have elements of a Sky Judge or a booth official in the preseason coming up. So, I mean, I just think that the NFL should use the preseason. If we're still going to have a preseason, why not use that as an opportunity to experiment with some of the innovations for gameplay that you would consider having in the regular season?
I think it was the Eagles' proposal. I think this new rule was the Eagles' proposal.
You are correct.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, again, and I mean, you're talking about, for the most part, I mean, the highest paid player on the field is the quarterback, right? I mean, so wouldn't you want to give your quarterback the opportunity late in the game? I mean, just think about the red zone. All of a sudden now, I mean, that's more content for the red zone. You're going to a 4th and 15. You know what I mean? Chance to keep the ball, keep the game going. I mean, yeah, that's the definition of excitement.
I think it's exciting, and the onside kick has become kind of ho-hum. I mean, you can only line a certain amount of guys up on one side, and I understand why that is, but that's become, odds are you're not going to recover the onside kick if you're the team doing it.
That's
so
a boring
play. Some excitement into the mix here.
This is contrary to what the NFL, I mean, says it's trying to do. I mean, the reason why you move the extra point back is because it was too easy. And it was ho-hum, okay, extra point, I'm going to go grab, you know, some more wings and a beer or go use the bathroom because I don't need to watch it. I mean, are you really that dialed in for the onside kick?
Well, no.
They're not eliminating the onside kick. You still have the opportunity. You can still use that as an option. This could be, this for me is a better option. It's a more exciting option.
I agree with you. It's there's no doubt it's more exciting. And the onside kick used to be more exciting until they changed the rule. But now it's become kind of ho-hum because the odds are distinctly against you recovering this. I think
they've eliminated the onside kick. The onside kick is done. They've eliminated that. I mean, the last 2 years, nobody has been able to recover one. Isn't that, in effect, eliminating it?
Yes. Yeah, for all intents and purposes.
I don't know if that's right, though. Are you sure about that?
No, it's not. That's not right. It's teams that have been in a position where they've needed an onside kick are 0-1-4 in the result of the games. Not that they haven't recovered any of the onside kicks.
Because you had 2-1 game. I mean, didn't you have 2-1? What game was it last year where they had 2-1 game?
Yeah, I don't remember that game. But those teams have never come back to win games.
They don't come back and win. Years.
Right.
They don't come back and win.
Right. They're 0-104 with the being put in a position where they are forced to onside kick it. Nobody has come back to win the last 2 years.
I don't see the negative. I may be crazy. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer.
Most people liked it.
It's just more excitement. I mean, at the end of the day, this is, I get it. I mean, there's the purist that, I mean, Andy Reid actually said it. Like, he's probably the best equipped because he has Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And he has, I mean, you name the weapons, they have him. Like, he's probably the most equipped to deal with a 4th and 15, but he's a purist of the game and he doesn't like change. I mean, I get it. I understand.
And I don't
either. I'm the same with hockey. But at the end of the day, when this is all said and done, it is an entertainment product as well. Like, you're trying to make it as entertaining as humanly possible. And keep your fans as engaged as possible. I mean, I would have a hard time turning. I mean, wouldn't you have a hard time turning the TV off or changing, you know, the game that you're watching if there was the ability on an untimed 4th and 15 to have your team, you know, march down the field?
And oh, well, you absolutely would, because the NFL is all about the offense being able to have an opportunity to score points. I mean, people want to see offense. You know, there's the slogan, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. Like, everybody wants to come see the quarterbacks. Everybody wants to see the offense. So putting the ball in the offense's hands at the end of the game, if you're down a couple of scores, to me, it makes all the sense in the world in terms of being an entertainment product. Like, to me, that makes for the best drama at the end of games. Rather than having an onside kick where you have a very little chance of being able to recover it because you don't get the rolling start, being able to actually have your offense out there to try to convert a 4th and 15.
But everyone that I heard speak about it was excited about it. Like, oh God, could you imagine Chiefs down by 11, 2 minutes to
go?
Well,
Dave, you don't have to imagine it. You saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, it wasn't the Chiefs trying to get an onside kick, but it was a 3rd and 15 that changed the game, right?
Of course.
The Tyreek Hill play?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what changed the game? I mean, why wouldn't you sign up for those types of moments on a regular basis in NFL games?
I just don't get the NFL. With almost everything they do, and we all love it, we'll watch it regardless. But they just don't make sense to me. Like, to me, this was somewhat of an obvious play. But the way they handle almost everything, Rick, makes you scratch your head.
It makes us scratch our head, but I mean, it's too big to fail at this point. I mean,
no, I agree.
It doesn't matter what decision they make, we end
you're
up.
You're right.
Watching.
It's not baseball where if they don't. If God forbid they decide they can't have a season and we get to 2021, everyone will come back in full force. It's not like where you're concerned about losing fans or anything. It's just for the betterment of the game, and I really believe this was for the betterment of the game of football.
Yeah, but how many leagues, Dave? Honestly, I mean, outside of the NFL, how many leagues can institute a rule and then spend the entire season trying to be so bad at the new rule change that they get rid of it after the season is over? Like, almost on purpose. Like, we're gonna make this so painful for coaches and the fans to watch that by the end of the season, they're gonna be screaming to get rid of it. Cause that's what they did with the challenge in the PI last
season. They could not have handled it worse.
Well, exactly right. Or if that's what they were hoping to achieve, was you guys were all complaining because of that one play in the big moment, so we'll give you what you want, and then we'll make such a mockery out of it,
right,
that you'll be the ones that want to get rid of it, not us. They played it to perfection. I mean, if that's a rule they didn't want to institute, how badly they handled it,
it was gross.
They butchered it, almost on purpose.
Gross.
Well, probably on purpose.
It was awful. Watching the NFL games, and then there were clear pass interferences where they didn't do anything, and you challenge it. I mean, it was awful. It could not have been handled worse, Chris. It was as bad as possible.
No, it was bad, Dave, but I think because they're getting a lot of backlash now and you heard the fans and media members complaining about it, I think that's made the NFL a little gun shy about whether or not they're going to try to implement things in one off season. I think this is one of those situations where they want it discussed for several off seasons before they're actually going to do something about it. So they're tabling it. It probably won't be in 2020, but maybe we see that change in 2021. Maybe we see the sky judge in 2021. But for the 2020 season, with everything that's going on as the backdrop, I just don't think the NFL has the appetite to try to implement those types of changes.
Well, you clearly,
and I don't think that's the right. I don't think that's the right approach. I honestly don't. I think they're doing the wrong thing by at least not experimenting with it in the preseason.
Don't you guys feel like this is the perfect opportunity for all these leagues to experiment with new things?
I've said that a million times.
Well, Mark Cuban said
it too
in his interview with Rachel
year.
Nichols.
I think you let it all hang out. I mean, all the ideas that you had, I mean, players will be willing to try it. Fans will be willing to give it a shot because we're starving for sports, man. Like, I wouldn't be opposed. Listen, one of the things that they've talked about in the NHL for a long time is that in order to have more goals, because that's what they want is more goals, which drives me crazy as a goalie. Just give me more opportunities. Give me more shots. That's excitement for me. But one of the things that they proposed a couple different times is that you actually have to serve all 2 minutes of a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're on
the
power play.
Box upon a goal. Everything would
right.
be treated as a major then.
Exactly right. So you have that full mm-hmm. 2 minutes to try to score as many goals as you can score. I mean, I wouldn't like it as a goalie, but I mean, I think it'd probably be good to institute.
Well, it adds more excitement. More
exactly right. It adds more excitement. And that, isn't that what we're trying to do now?
Yeah.
I need something. I need something exciting.
Well, you know, look, you're gonna love the NFL regardless, right? Yes. I mean, it's going out with the perfect woman, and it's just maybe it's a little bit better. But it, I mean, it's still great. It's not gonna change your love affair with the NFL. But I think it was an opportunity to make it a little bit better, a little bit. I mean, it's not a huge change, a little bit better, and they whiffed on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, they may have better reasons than they're letting on in the moment, or they're just kind of playing us and have us, you know, screaming for it. So then when they do institute it, then, you know, everyone would be happy. But I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I didn't see anything wrong with it as well. And to your point, Rick, why not shoot your shot with everything that's going on this year? Like, fans will give you a pass just because they're craving live team sports. And the NFL is king of team sports in this country. So, I mean, I just feel like the NFL is in a position to do no wrong. All of the different things that we have been talking about in terms of ways to improve the game and ways to, you know, allow the outcomes of these games to be what they're supposed to be. I just think the NFL had a chance to do that this offseason, and the owners decided they didn't want to vote for it yesterday. They'd rather put it on pause than decide to try to move forward with it and experiment this year.
Yeah, missed opportunity, I think. I think it was a missed opportunity. I mean, we had this conversation yesterday, right, with Major League Baseball. You know, what would the damage be? You know, how much damage would be done by missing a season? There'd be damage done, but more importantly, it'd be a huge missed opportunity. I mean, that for them would be a huge missed opportunity with what's going on right now to get their guys back on the field and try to create some excitement from people that don't necessarily love Major League Baseball. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is the time, and you said, and we've said this so many times on this show, this is the time. If you're going to roll the dice when you have a pandemic going on, maybe this is the time that you tinker with this or change that or do this, and people aren't going to have the same reaction. This is the time that the NFL had this opportunity, but they didn't do it.
But I guess the NFL is looking at it from this standpoint too, though, guys. I mean, with the disruption that you've seen in the other three major team sports, the NFL, just by virtue of when their season is probably going to be the least affected in terms of their overall schedule of events. I mean, think about it. You're talking about having coaches being able to be back in the building next week. I mean, as far as fans go, I don't know that anybody cares about OTAs or minicamps or anything like that, but actually having the coaches back in the building puts you one step closer to having the players back in the building. And by all of these governors saying that they're open for business with these pro sports teams, including Governor Murphy and Governor Cuomo, that means that the New York Jets and the New York Giants, if everything goes according to plan the next few weeks, would be able to have their training camps at their facilities. So, I mean, if you look at every major benchmark in the NFL calendar, the NFL has essentially hit all of the ones that are of the utmost importance. All of the ones that are essential in terms of the business of football, the NFL has done it. And so maybe they're looking at this season as a win. If they have the least amount of disruption, the least deviations, the less deviations than any of the other three major team sports. Maybe that's what they're saying. Maybe they're saying, let's just be conservative. We're already the king of team sports in this country. We'll continue to be the king as long as we have our games when they're scheduled to go.
Well, let's go to Gary in Jersey. Gary, you're first up on a Friday morning on 98.7. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
So I would look at it from a little bit of a different angle, the fourth and 15 for the onside kick. And you guys were talking about what a mess pass interference was.
It was
generally
awful.
That fourth and 15 could determine the game. Why would I want to give an official a chance to throw another horrendous pass interference, illegal contact, defensive holding flag, in essence, give them more control of the game than they already have now?
I think you'd have to come to some kind of compromise on how that play was officiated. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Hail Mary is officiated a lot differently than most passing plays, right, at
yes.
the end of a game.
Of
so
course.
It would have to be something where it can't be, you know, some ticky-tack penalty on the defense ends up in an automatic first down. I mean, they have to figure that out. You know, how that thing is officiated, and, you know, maybe it turns into, you know,
replay down
or, you know, 5-yard penalty or 10-yard penalty, so now it's fourth and five, or whatever
not
it ends
an
up being.
Automatic first down kind of thing.
It can't be an automatic first down, no.
Well, but pass interference, I mean, if you have a legitimate pass interference 18 yards down the field, it shouldn't it be a first down?
But yeah, that's a subjective call. Yeah, I mean, it should be. In theory, it should be.
But, I mean, see, I almost think that's a bigger change. And I asked Mike Tenenbaum about this the other day, and he's like, no, you have to call every play the same way. I don't know what the answer is, though.
But this is where, I mean, hand in hand, both rules would have made sense, and all of a sudden you bring in the sky judge, which, you know, if I were to throw out a conspiracy theory, the way they're going to use this thing is sky judge won't ring down, the referee will have to ring up, but, I mean, let's not get it twisted. You don't think that the sky judge is talking into the head referee's ear?
I'm sure he would be.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would be.
You know, so people don't really know it, but it's actually going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would, I mean, I can't imagine that that's not happening. Like, if there's an egregious call.
Of course it's happening, Rick. I mean, you got Park Avenue involved with reviewing turnovers. All of that stuff is centralized. I mean, of course it's happening where there's communication. And if they had a sky judge in place, that would absolutely be the case. But, I mean, that's maybe why the NFL is deciding that they're not going to try to experiment with some of these things, because they don't have all of the kinks worked out. They don't have all of the different, you know, machinations planned for it. Maybe that's why they're avoiding this, was because they don't want to see unintended consequences play out on national television.
That's a great point. That could be it.
I mean, you saw what happened in the playoff game with the Titans and the Patriots, and what Mike Vrabel did with the punt and running down the clock.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
They don't want to see things like that. They don't want to see loopholes exploited.
They did fix that, though, which was which was good.
But exactly. Yeah. But the last thing they want to do is to try to implement something new and somebody have a loophole that they haven't thought of, that they have no way to be able to fix in real time, something that they would have to wait until the offseason to fix. You could be talking about making the difference between a team competing for a championship and a team being out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that could definitely be it. I mean, we've seen it so many times. I mean, between what happened last year with the PI challenge, and then, you know, you have the catch rule actually changed during the season without anyone knowing. Actually get changed. I mean, it happened in the Super Bowl. Remember?
Yeah, it did.
Which was ridiculous, but I mean, that's, hey, listen, NFL is king, and we're all going to be chomping at the bit to get it back.
You have 4th and 15. You have every play as an onside kick. You put extra points back to where they were. We're going to watch. All right. Have you turned your man cave into your home office? Rick, you have, yes?
I don't really have a man cave, no.
No?
No, I'm in this. Oh. It was supposed to be, I guess it was a library. I don't know. I mean, what do you even consider it? No.
No. Oh. Well, starting next week, we're giving our listeners the chance to upgrade their work-at-home experience with an Amazon Echo.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll give you 3 chances a day between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. to win a smart speaker for your home office. To enter, simply email us a photo of your work-from-home setup to 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. Again, that's 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. Love the Echo. You have an Echo?
Me, no. That scares the hell out of me, to be honest.
Well, oh, you think it's going to, like, listen in on your private?
No, I don't think. I know it's listening. It's like I know my phone is listening. I can't even have a conversation with my wife and then not have my phone just all of a sudden start giving me, you know, things I just talked about. Advertisements.
So wait. You have conversations, like you could say, like, we'd love to go to Aruba. How great would Aruba be? And then the phone starts to show you, like, hotels in Aruba?
Yeah, like the other day, Cassie. That's, so remember I told you I made the
uncomfortable.
Remember how I told you I made the spanakopita for Cassie?
Yes.
Yeah, which took hours, and then she chastised me because it took too long. So she had bought 2 packages of phyllo dough. So the other day, she's like, "Well, we have to figure out what we're going to do with this," and we're going back and forth. And she's like, "Well, maybe we make another one of those, or we make a bakla." I go on Pinterest the next day, and there's on my Pinterest page recipes for baklava.
You don't think it was coincidental?
How would that be coincidental?
I don't know. I'm not on Pinterest.
I mean, that is not into the, you don't just all of a sudden out of nowhere be talking about baklava.
So you think somehow your phone is eavesdropping on your daily conversations and then putting it onto the internet?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that would be Big Brother really winning one, huh?
I'm not alone. I guarantee people feel the same way. Guaranteed.
Do you think that there are people out there that think that if they are just having a private conversation in their bedroom with their spouse, that the phone is listening and then kind of regurgitates thing in advertisements?
Yep.
Chris, you feel like that?
100%, Dave.
You do as well.
Absolutely. I've talked about things in casual conversation, not paying attention to what's going on my phone, jump on social media, and I see an advertisement for what we were just talking about. It happens.
That's terrifying. Cookies
are real, Dave. Cookies are real.
That's terrifying. Now, you know what I'm even is even strange? When you're just surfing the internet, and then all of a sudden you go somewhere else and there's ads for everything you surf. I don't even like that. But to be talking about stuff in the privacy of your home and then have that as advertisements is that's too much.
No, and then there's the whole issue of the cameras on your phone and your computers and everything else that people can hack into.
I don't know this to be true, but I would almost be willing to bet money that you have tape across the camera of your computer.
Small Band-Aid, yeah. One of those little circle Band-Aids.
It had to be. it had to be. A small Band-Aid. Which is great, because if you cut yourself during the show, you could just take it off and put it on and then replace it.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Listen, you know my wife.
You're very practical. Very, very practical.
I'm not going to be one of those guys. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be one of those people that ends up doing one of these Zoom calls or has Milo on one of his Zoom classes, and then I'm the idiot that walks behind him doing something. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be that guy.
By the way, people agree with you guys. Whitecaps 1 says, not coincidental, 100% we're all being listened to. Mike Zelenka, 100% they're right about this. It happens all the time.
Yeah, see that? Snapchat picture of an automatic lawnmower, boom, sent to a friend. Next day, ad for it.
Oh, God. That's kind of terrifying, though, no?
Yeah, of course it is.
In these trying times, very important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Now, Rick, I was thinking, we have Coach Quinn right at noon. I don't want to have to rush through that. How do you feel about moving CMT to the 11 o'clock hour?
I feel great about it. Not only moving CMT, but maybe throw some music in. I mean, whatever you'd like to do. Let's get crazy.
Crazy with CMT?
I mean, we can. Up to you. I mean, you're the
Sandy,
driver.
Would you like to get crazy and wild with CMT?
What are you implying here?
Just craziness.
I can go in a lot of different directions, sir.
Well, I think, FCC compliance, of course, but, within reason, craziness.
Listen, do what you got to do.
I think some music.
Have a dumb button for a reason.
Music.
I think some music would be nice.
Right.
I mean, the more we can hear Bombs and Hellacious Seeds, then I would be all for that.
I love that one. There's certain things in your life that every time they're said, they make you laugh, and that's one of those things.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I just hope you guys cuddle all three, but I know you can't.
La Liga will return on June 11th, by the way.
I did see that, yeah. How about what's going on? Did you see what the AD at Iowa said?
No. What did he say?
Well, he said that that the stadium will be full. Like he sees games being played.
Don't they have a children's cancer center like attached to the facility there in Iowa?
Yeah, the players wave to the kids. It's
right?
Part of a tradition, yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The stadium's going to be full.
Yeah, with no restrictions.
But why would you say that? Even and listen, we all hope that that's the case. Well, of course, that would be ideal to have 80,000 people in a stadium. But why would you say that now, when we pass the 100,000 people have passed away in this country mark? Why would you say that in May? Why now?
To be optimistic, I guess. I mean, to put it out there in hopes that it happens. To give something, I mean, to give your school and maybe the kids that attend your school, I mean, some optimism, something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, setting the tone, man. Putting pressure on everybody involved to try to push toward this goal, which is having our stadiums full when football kicks off late August, early September. And if you're at the point where you can't have people in the stadium, it's easy to walk that back. You can say, okay, we were optimistic about everything, but it's not working out because of the pandemic. You can easily retract that, Dave.
I guess. You could also do the opposite where you say, yeah, we hope to be able to do it. And then if you can, great. And if you can't, well, there's kind of that, notion that you might not be able to anyway.
Yeah, but they lean toward doing what's in the best interest of the bottom line, not doing what's right.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. All right, let's go to a couple calls, and we'll get into this Gettleman story from the Post. John in Selden. John, you're next up on 98.7.
Hello?
Hello, John. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? First time, long time, guys. Big Giants fan, big Islanders fan. Dave, used to listen to you when you're on the late night about 10 years ago. As far as the onside kicks, why not just stop the clock after 2 minutes, make the offense get first downs and run out the clock that way?
What do you mean, after every play?
Yeah. Make the offense score. Make it after 1 minute, maybe. That way you can't just knee out the clock. And, you know, if your defense can get them off the field.
But the final 2 minutes of a game would be like an NBA game. It would take forever.
Yeah, but doesn't everybody love the last 2 minutes of an NBA game?
Yeah, but you also don't want the game. I mean, you don't want that.
I don't
want to
fundamentally alter the game of football.
Well, that's what you're doing with this.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So, I mean, I'm all for trying to come up with alternatives to the onside kick. And I actually thought the proposal was a good one. But I don't want to start changing how the clock works and the mechanics of a football game. I don't want to get into that.
Well, that's what you do.
And plus, they don't want that.
You stop the clock after every play.
Yeah, but the other thing, too, they don't want those games to start bleeding into each other.
Well, that's why they moved the games back to 4:25 to begin with. But if you do this, you're going to have the 1 o'clock games going to be going to 5 o'clock.
I don't want to change the game of football.
If after every play you stop the clock, what does a play take, Chris? 7 seconds? 8 seconds?
If the play takes 7 to 8 seconds, Dave, somebody's corn. Usually a play takes 3-4 seconds.
All right, so 4 seconds, you talk about 15 plays a minute.
Yeah.
You talk about 30 plays in the final 2 minutes of a game. I mean, you'd completely change the game of football.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they want to do.
I don't want that. I'm not signing up for that.
I don't think anybody wants that. No, yeah. James in Jersey, you're next up, James, on 98.7.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm calling because I just wanted to throw in a quick story about the whole Big Brother watching us thing. So earlier this week, I was eating dinner with my girlfriend, and she passes me the bottle Cholula. I'm assuming the camera on my phone caught this because out of nowhere, about 30 minutes later, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I'm getting nothing but Cholula ad everywhere.
Oh, my God. See, that honestly, that's terrifying, though, James.
It is, but at the same time, like, they've been doing this forever. Everyone knows that. So it's at least 9/11.
Listen, I have a story that I was sent, and this is a story I was going to bring up on Observations. We didn't never get to it, but Apple had to apologize to its users for employing a third-party contractor to listen to audio recordings picked up by Siri that included, muffled background noise, like when you were having sexy time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like the sound of a zip.
Crazy.
Like, apparently, like the sound of a zip, like there were certain sounds, and some of the sounds associated with having sexy time would set off Siri to start recording what you were doing. So the voice assistant routinely recorded people having sex, as well as making drug deals and discussing confidential medical information.
This is unbelievable. This is life altering. I'm not bringing my phone into any room I'm ever in again.
No, and that's like your computer too. I'm telling you, Band-Aid on the camera. Get it done.
Camera. Let me do that at the next commercial. John in East Northport. John, this is terrifying. I'm learning a lot today. John, you're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I got another Big Brother story.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. So,
great.
Like a lot of people trying to find things to do with the quarantine, cleaning out my office, had an old poker set, and then the poker set, you know, I had, dice, so I shook the dice. Within an hour, I had an ad for Yahtzee. Who's even buying new Yahtzee games?
That's crazy.
But apparently, just the shaking of the dice triggered an ad for Yahtzee.
That's crazy.
This stuff's scary.
I mean, not even saying it, just shaking dice?
Yeah, shaking that would freak dice? Me out.
That's it.
That would freak me out.
Yeah, it's all terrifying. Thanks for the call, John. This is great. So everyone's listening to everything we do.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Shake dice, unzip your pants. Great. So here's the question, though.
Good thing I don't wear pants anymore.
I think don't you think, or don't you bring the phone into the bathroom with you?
I do. Yeah, that's the office. That's really my man cave.
Right, great.
/ office.
Great. So they're watching. They know what's going on in there.
Hey, listen, they choose to watch me on the toilet. That's up to them. I'm going to make it as uncomfortable as possible. That's like when we used to get the drug tests. When we used to get our drug tests, like it would get so annoying to the point where I would be a jerk about it. So I would sign in. And then as soon as you sign in, they have to follow you around until you actually pee. So then I would purposely just walk around. I would shower. I go sit on the toilet. And the person has to follow you around while you're doing all this stuff.
Oh, my God. Well, let's go to Paul in Brooklyn. Paul, you got another one of these stories?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. If you go on Alexa, it's constantly recording. You can go online and actually listen to the recordings. Whenever it's on, whenever it's plugged in, they say it's learning. That's their reasoning for it. But it's recording everything. And there's also a thing on Facebook with suggestive ads. You could shut it off so that stuff doesn't happen with the ads keep popping up when you talk about things.
Great.
You want to hear it? Great. You guys want to hear how much time we have here? Should I save it?
I don't know. How long is it going to be?
Just a quick story. This just reminded me of the story. So I can't tell you who this player was, but it was one of the guys that I played with. At some point, we're in a certain city, and we walked by a spy store. There was a spy store. So he's like, I'm going to run the spy store. I'll meet you guys at dinner. So it comes to dinner, big bag. I'm like, what the hell are you in? I mean, what'd you go to the spy store for?
He's everything.
Like, oh, no. He's like, I've had, you know, I had some suspicions. I want to know what my wife is doing when I'm gone. I'm like, really? It's that point? He's like, I don't think it's anything bad, but I just like to know what's going on in the house. this idiot goes back to his house off this road trip with the bag of supplies of spy stuff. And before he can even set it up, he just puts it down, not realizing, and leaves the bag of spy stuff, like right out in the open without setting it up. So he comes to practice the next day and then goes home. And when he gets home, his wife is sitting there with the bag of spy stuff.
Oh, God.
What are you doing? Well, she's like, well, what do you mean? She's like, why do you have a fake alarm clock that's a spy alarm clock?
Just left it out.
He just left it out. Completely forgot he bought it. Just came off the road, like put his stuff down, and then forgot about it. And then came home from practice the next day, and she was just sitting there at the door with the bag of supplies to spy on her.
That's not surprising. Hilarious. At all. That's not surprising, even a little bit.
It's hilarious. Can you imagine that conversation?
No. How dumb do you have to be?
Why'd you buy this? That's a great question, honey.
Just for fun. Novelty.
Oh, gift. My goodness.
Give it out. Make it a bar mitzvah gift. Be great.
It's not for me. I promise.
Yeah. No, it's not for me. All right. Ron in Plainview wants to talk about the two-minute warning idea guy. Let's hear this, Ron. Go ahead. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just to elaborate on what the other caller had said, I think it's a good idea if you build on what he was saying. If the clock only ticked when you picked up a first down in the remaining 2 minutes, then there's something to be achieved by the team that's, you know, trying to burn out the game. They would have to pick up that first down because then the clock would only, the 25-second play clock, they could chew that up, but only upon picking up a first down. So if there's 2 minutes, you'd need to achieve at least a couple of first downs and actually play the game still for the remaining time.
Yeah, but part of playing the game is managing your timeouts too. I mean, that's part of
every
football.
Every aspect of the game is managing and coaching, but what we're saying is to make those final 2 minutes, like rather than have someone pick up one first down and take three knees on second and third down, that's not going to help you if the clock doesn't move. So ergo, you would need to at least pick up a first down. Then you can kill 25 seconds of your play clock of the remaining 2 minutes or whatever's left at that point, depending on the plays, the length of the plays. And
yeah, but
like
I mean, you're talking about an idea that would fundamentally change the game as opposed to a 4th and 15 that would add. I mean, it would change because, I mean, you'd probably decide to do that instead
that
of an onside kick.
See how it's changing it that dynamically.
Well, because now you're, I mean, now all of a sudden you're talking about the strategy of the game and how the coach is going to manage his timeouts and everything else.
Well, you know, the quote, the old coach, you play to win the game. So if you're able to take a knee, that kind of like, it's a gut punch to a lot of people to watch a team doing something with that victory, you know, position where they just take a knee. And that's kind of, I understand what they're saying about basketball because that's annoying too when you're, you know, fouling every 2 seconds in the last 10 seconds of the game. But unlike that, this
yeah, but my point is, but here's this. Yeah, okay, but here's my point, right? Like, you may like your idea, okay? Dave, Chris, and I like the 4th and 15. and they didn't vote yes for the 4th and 15, that doesn't dramatically change the game as much as what you're talking about. So if they're not going to pass the 4th and 15, what makes you believe that all of a sudden now they're going to start stopping the clock in the last 2 minutes of the game?
Well, again, just like the last caller who said something that I picked up on, maybe someone can listen to what I'm saying and pick up on something on that and meet everyone in the middle with something that's entertaining and both, you know, functional.
I don't see it happening.
It's not going to happen. It completely changes the game of football. That's not what they're looking to do. They want to tweak.
Yeah, they want to tweak. They want to make them, and they want to add a level of excitement. And even then, they didn't vote. Yeah, I mean, they didn't vote yes for it.
Right. They got,
I don't know how many people. Know. I mean, I know no one on this show enjoys watching the new onside kick.
No. Not at all. Not
I,
even.
I can't imagine
bit.
Many people like it.
Well, it's. I mean, when you know the result of something, it's not all that enticing.
Yeah.
But it's pretty straightforward, right? 4th and 15, untimed down. You stop it. You get the ball wherever it ends up. And then, I mean, you're already in field goal range. You're going to, you know what I mean? Like, you have an opportunity to score. Game is probably over.
So you could have 1 second left on the clock. Go from your, is it the 20 or the 25?
25.
Go 25 to midfield. Still 1 second on the clock. Have a chance for Hail Mary.
Which I love. I think would be great. I mean, if you can't listen, I understand, like, Coach Zimmer in Minnesota was talking about, you know, he's a defensive-minded guy, ticky-tack fouls and everything else. It's a 4th and 15. I mean, if your defense, I mean, can't stop it, or, I mean, even if you can't stop the 4th and 15, if you can't stop the team from marching all the way down the field from their own 25, then you probably don't deserve to win, do you?
No. No. And what do you think the percentages are of completing a 4th and 15 pass?
I think 4th and 15.
They can't be great.
I think it's double the percentage of what the new onside kick has been. I think last year it was closer to, I want to say it was 25 or 26%.
Really?
And I think since
one at every four 4th and 15s.
Well, as opposed to, I think that since the new onside kick rule has been adopted, I think at 11%.
It's 10%.
Yeah, 10%. So it's double.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little bit more than double.
Surprised it's at 25%. That seems like a big number because the Giants certainly aren't capitalizing on any 4th and 15s. that's for sure.
Well, listen, the Jets have plenty of those.
Yeah.
The amount of negative plays
right.
We have.
It must be other teams in the league because the New York teams are not capitalizing on 4th and 15.
Not
that's
even
like
a little
death
bit.
Sentence. It's like they might as well ask, what do you want before your last meal, before you go and have your 4th and 15.
Well, that's because usually on plays like that, though, like even if it's 3rd and 15, I mean, you're seeing, you know, let's run a draw and see if we can pick it up. You know what I mean? Like, teams aren't usually overly aggressive in those situations.
Yeah, because they know most they're probably teams. Not going to convert it. We're just going to run the ball and then punt it away. That's what typically happens.
Yeah, or if you're the Jets, just run, penalty, and then punt it.
Giants are running on 4th and 15. We got a second overall pick as a running back. All right, want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Maybe our favorite part of the show. Maybe. And that is Andy from Merrick with his award-winning questions. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Dave, I could not be better. I was watching MSG last night. Rick DiPietro, a young Josh Bailey, besting Henrik Lundqvist in a 2010 game warmed the cockles of my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't try to make up, Andy. Don't try to make up for yesterday's debacle.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm in a good mood. We're going to give you some batting practice pitches.
Oh, come on! Nice. We don't want babies. We don't want layups. Give us real questions.
No, I want a layup. You guys speak for yourself. I want a layup, Andy.
He's on the layup.
I don't want poets and authors for 200 again. I'm all set on that.
Yes. All right. The theme of
Tombstone sayings for 400, Alex.
The theme of today's questions are most seasons in a career with one team. So we'll start with our gridiron great, Christopher Canty. Lou the Toe Groza, Jason Hansen both spent 21 years with their respective franchises, but I'm quite aware kickers are not football players.
Yes.
So, can you tell me one of the two Hall of Fame players that spent 20 years with their team?
Chris, whenever you're ready for help, I'm here for you.
He already got it, Dave. Darryl Green is correct.
So good. So boom. Good. Give him the ding, Slater. Santy. There you go.
Jackie Slater was the other one.
Gotcha.
Rick. NHL question. We'll put you back on the ice.
Okay, here we go. All right, now we're talking.
Gordie Howe, of course, played 25 years, but one of those years was actually with the Hartford Whalers. Who holds the NHL record for 24 seasons with one team?
24 seasons with one team.
Rick, whenever you're ready for help.
Oh, Dave, look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, here's the thing. This almost feels like this entire segment is based around one person and one person only, and that's Dave Rothenberg. Right?
It's a hockey
question.
Why
would that be so bad, even if it were?
It was a Gordie Howe teammate.
Gordie Howe teammate. I feel like I should know this. Let me think. I know Dave knows this. Dave, is this guy potentially already in the Italian Hall of Fame? I feel like he might be.
I don't know. Potentially, yes. Very much potentially. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because I'm not. Is it Alex DelVecchio?
That would be correct.
He's got to be in. Canty's in.
Two for two.
Well, he's from Southern Italy, yes.
All right, you guys are two for two. No pressure, Dave.
Yeah, sure.
Same question in baseball. Two baseball players each spent 23 years with one team. Name them.
Come on, David.
One team. Is one of them from Long Island?
Yes.
Carl Yastrzemski.
And the other one is also in the American League East. Come up with him.
Brooks Robinson?
That's correct.
I am the smartest man alive!
Three for three. Let's give you a bonus for all three of you.
Ooh, I like the bonus.
Right, the teammate combination.
Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, yep. Drafted by the Hornets, but played 20 years with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me the player that spent 21 seasons with one NBA team?
Whew. You guys have any idea?
21. Can you imagine having a 21-year career?
No. That's crazy. I'm just sitting here thinking about how long that is.
Give me a time frame, Andy.
Very recently retired.
Oh.
Was that Dunk?
No. It's probably Dirk.
Dirk is right.
Nice.
There you go.
Nicely done, Dave.
Four. Way to go into the weekend, guys. Stay healthy.
Oh, that was sensational. See, Rick, when we get him wrong, it hurts. But when we get him right, it feels very good, doesn't it?
When we get him wrong, I hate the segment. I'll be honest. When we get him wrong, I despise the segment.
Okay, we went four for four.
Yeah, but after yesterday, I was ready to end it. I was just going to say, I'm all set.
Now you want it back on Monday.
And now I can't. I'm hoping I may call in for Stump Rothenberg tomorrow.
You're an emotional roller coaster with Andy.
Roller coaster. Up and down.
You hate him. You love him. You don't know what to do.
I'm tiptoeing the edge of a full nervous breakdown here, just so you know. So.
Every time you see him on the screener, oh, God.
I'm like, oh, here we go.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.